Naturally occurring black pigments in vegetables, spices, and seeds have been found to have powerful anti-inflammatory effects. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I'm excited about what I think may be the next big thing in anti-inflammatory supplements, a brand new, all-natural daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. Black for Health combines four plant-based foods, black garlic, black radish root, black cumin seed, and black peppercorn, containing high levels of body-ready healing botanicals. Black for Health supports your liver, skin, cholesterol, blood pressure, and weight management, circulation, and immunity. It's a tasty supplement with liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information, or to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's myfuturefarm. Farm, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. Questions come to us via radio program at AOL.com. Hit me with the next question, Layla.
Okay, we've got an email from Joanne. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Can you describe the differences between glycine, dimethylglycine, and trimethylglycine? What are they each used for? Do you get the benefits of glycine by taking DMG, dimethylglycine, or TMG, trimethylglycine? Or should they all be taken for their individual benefits?
Is this for my PhD dissertation?
Yeah, yeah.
Is this the oral examination?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, first of all, there are different the methyl groups, glycine, dimethylglycine is two methyl groups.
Sometimes referred to as DMG.
DMG, yeah. Right. And trimethylglycine is three methyl groups. TMG is also betaine.
Betaine. Right.
And is the benefit of trimethylglycine is to help lower homocysteine.
Yeah.
To help it to convert
we
back
sometimes
to
sometimes add that to
yes.
the B vitamins.
Right.
Folate, B12, and B6.
Yes. TMG works closely mm-hmm. with folic acid,
right.
B12, B6.
Yeah.
And SAMe.
We've had patients
as well.
With homocysteines in the 20s. And
oh,
when
yeah.
we add the TMG,
yeah.
sometimes the B vitamins don't do it. With various homocysteine formulas have mm-hmm. The B vitamin, sometimes with a little TMG.
Yeah.
The trick is to use a fair amount of TMG.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like 750 twice daily or, you know, four times a day. Like
yeah.
3 grams of betaine. You can use mm-hmm. a lot of betaine.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps that
right.
weak methylation pathway.
Right. It helps the homocysteine to convert back to methionine. Whereas under normal circumstances, it should be able to do that, but sometimes you need more methylation. So Joanne, the betaine or the TMG, trimethylglycine, is good to lower homocysteine. Dimethylglycine, DMG, can be helpful in immunity
mm-hmm.
and things
it's
of that nature.
It was highly promoted in the 90s for athletic performance.
Mm.
You know, they would tout that it was given to the Soviet athletes and blah, blah, blah. And we know that they cheat like crazy. So if they're using that,
yeah.
that must be good.
I think it's also good for kidney function as well.
Okay.
Glycine, L-glycine in and of itself, we make endogenously. Our bodies make some of it. But taking it in supplement form is helpful for staying asleep
yeah.
during the night, for example.
It is an inhibitory neurotransmitter
yeah.
as opposed to excitatory neurotransmitters
mm-hmm.
like... your phenylalanine and
right, and it can help to stimulate a little more GABA to help things remain calm,
right.
so to speak. Glycine, L-glycine, helps us to keep our core temperature down so that we remain asleep during the night instead of waking up for no good reason.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're waking up because of a car alarm.
What was the name of that product
snoring.
That we had?
Glycom.
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 Made by a Japanese company.
Yeah, and you take that at bedtime,
mm-hmm.
and it contains higher amounts of L-glycine, the amino acid, to help stay asleep.
Okay.
Which is the way it works.
Good.
Which is the way it works. Joanne, these are the differences. So glycine is good for sleep.
Okay, so but
yeah.
her question is, will mm-hmm. if you take TMG, will you get some glycine? Will
sure.
it help you sleep?
Yeah. You may, yeah.
But it's not as focused.
Exactly. Not as focused because You're taking glycine or glycine for sleep at night. The trimethylglycine you're taking any time during the day for homocysteine, immunity.
Plus, it's not clear whether the glycine acts independently, breaks off of the TMG, and does its neurotransmitter.
There is that, right.
Yeah, right.
Right. So there is that.
Right. Okay.
But Joanne, thank you for this very thoughtful question.
Right.
Brings us back to
biochemistry
days.
We'll put it on the next nutrition exam.
Right. Okay, we've got...
Good point at which to offer our sponsors an opportunity to share this important message with you, which we appreciate very much. Let's hear it.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Youthful Energy, providing you with a unique energy support of pure NT factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause. Age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years. With a 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158. 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And I know you like it that way, so we'll keep encouraging their participation. So now back to our questions.
We have an email from Ellen. I think in one of your recent previous articles on allergies, Dr. Hoffman, you said that a latex pillow was not good to use. I would greatly appreciate your telling me what kind of pillow, and even the make, if you know a brand of pillow, is safe for someone with allergies, asthma, chemical sensitivities, as I don't want to use one that is polyurethane or, you know, one that would be safe, you know. And I think she says that my pillow is shredded polyurethane, which can be washed, but still concerns me. Thank you so much for all your articles. I would really appreciate information on a pillow.
Yeah.
Ask the doc because he knows everything.
Oh.
That's the kind of...
Okay, so, you know, when you think about pillows, you know, synthetics, polyurethane, I mean, basically polyurethane... You know,
or polyester. Yeah,
you're using something that has the potential to gas off harmful, volatile, hard hydrocarbons, and so you know, I mean, comfort is a factor when it comes to pillows, but also you want non-toxic pillows. There are also pillows that have added to them fire retardants.
Oh yeah.
So
No, thank you.
You know, I think your best bet would be to, because I haven't done a deep dive on this, I'll confess. But there are what are so-called green mattresses and green pillows.
Yes.
And there's a whole raft of them. You might also consult EWG, Environmental Working Group.
.org. EWG.org.
And there is, you know, the Sleep Foundation has a listing of the best organic pillows, if you look at sleepfoundation.org. So when it comes to latex, you know, some people are allergic to latex.
Right.
But if you cover the pillow, less of a problem.
Use an allergenic ticking cover. They have those types of covers.
That seals the pillow.
Exactly. Seals the pillow, seals the mattress, all of that.
Right. So, I mean, like even with the MyPillow that's polyurethane, maybe not so great, but...
But if you're going to seal it up
Seal it up. That may be the key.
That's even better.
That may be the key. You know, then you can...
I often will use hypoallergenic ticking, you know, the cover before your pillowcase, that with the zipper on it that protects the pillow from, you know, perspiration, any of that and so forth. So, Ellen, that would be a better choice. And I think I'm trying to remember.
And a more economical choice, too, you know, because you can use a standard pillow with the ticking and it'll be okay.
Right. So opt for that.
You know, people, there are companies that offer dust covers for pillows, and I've used them, and, you know, they're washable because, of course, anything that you sleep on, you know, you're going to put actually skin fragments on, and the mites tend to infiltrate. That's actually more of a problem.
Yes.
Is the mites. You know, that's why, like, you know, you go, well, I don't care about my my pillows, and I don't care about my mattresses. I mean, I sleep alone, and you know, I'm used to my own body odors and stuff like that. So I'll just wash my stuff like every 6 months. Well,
oh no.
You know, I mean, I'm just saying hypothetical, you know, but what happens is you actually shed skin, microscopic skin.
You're attracting
skin,
the mites.
So the mites will get into there.
Right.
And mites are very allergenic. So you might develop, you know, itchy skin problems, or you might even get respiratory allergies due to the presence of the mites.
Yeah.
So if you look at any fabric, unless it's a specially treated fabric that repels that, and those feet don't feel so great for sheets, it's a grid. You know, that's why there's these cloth masks. I mean, if you look at them, they're basically like,
grids.
A fence, you know, like a chain link fence under a microscope. And so the mites can infiltrate into that. The skin particles can be retained in that. I've actually seen this kind of scary microscopic pictures of
them. So fomites, is that about the mask?
No, fomites is about, kind of excretions of the body.
Right. Oh, okay.
Secretions and excretions.
Okay.
Yeah. But it is good fomites. They like your excretions.
Exactly.
It's made especially fomites.
Oh, yeah. Change your sheets, people. You don't want to sleep in crusty sheets.
Right. Yeah. When your sheets like crack, that's the time to throw
it's
in the
time
washer.
To at the very least. Oh my gosh. We have an email from Valeria. Valeria,
what a nice name.
Beautiful name.
Yeah.
Hello, thank you for your article on the 7 best supplements for GERD.
Oh, it could be Valeria.
Valeria.
You know, because like Valerie.
I was pronouncing it like Valerian, the herb.
I know, but it could be Valeria.
Valeria.
Valeria. I think there's a song. Isn't there like an old, like...
Valeria?
Like, yeah.
I don't know. That doesn't jog a memory for me.
Okay.
Thank you for your
article. Before your time.
Yeah, before my time. Thank you for your article on the 7 best supplements for GERD. Can I ask which DGL lozenge you recommend? Oh.
Okay, so the type of DGL, it's got to be zinc acetate, because the research on zinc lozenges is mostly about zinc acetate, which is a less common type of zinc. So the good zinc lozenges have zinc acetate.
Okay.
There's a caution on those things. Is that what he's asking about? How many you can take?
No. Which do you recommend?
Okay. So the caution is that don't take them on an ongoing basis. That's not the way you should take your zinc, because they have relatively small amounts, usually about 18 milligrams of zinc per capsule. But you see, come down with a cold and you take 6 or 8 a day, you could actually exceed the daily amount of zinc that's safe to take on an ongoing basis.
This is in a DGL supplement? Deglycerizated licorice?
Oh, I misheard the
question. Oh, this 7 best supplements for GERD. Which DGL lozenge?
Oh,
you're thinking zinc lozenge. I know what happened.
I went off on a tangent.
Nah, that's okay. But that's interesting about the zinc, because the next question is about...
Well, let's go to that question.
Right.
I'm answering the next
question. Yes, you are. Yeah. Look at that. You just saw through the paper, didn't you?
Yeah.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. This is from Terry. On the back of my zinc lozenges bottle.
See, there you go.
Yeah. It states not intended for extended use. What do you say? And it's got zinc acetate dihydrate, 18.4 milligrams.
There you
milligrams.
Go.
Look at that. You just read through the paper.
Right.
Right there. Is it okay to take zinc every day? No, so if it's this much,
I answer that question.
You just answered that question.
If you want to take zinc every day, take about 30 milligrams or 50 milligrams, but probably not much more than that on a daily basis.
Right, because there's no copper here in this particular breakdown. Mm-hmm. She's got zinc, selenium, quercetin, B6, and boron.
Short term, that won't be a problem.
Yeah, but not to take forever and ever.
I don't know why you put boron in that. You know, what does boron do for...
Ionosphore? Do you think?
Maybe.
Because
maybe
the boron and the quercetin and
maybe it's a carrier. That's a good thought. Yeah.
It's only 5 milligrams of boron.
So what Layla's referring to is the ionophoric effects of certain things.
That is so interesting.
It is known that quercetin is an ionophore.
Yeah.
And that may be why it may be beneficial for viral conditions.
Right.
But that may be the basis of hydroxychloroquine,
yeah,
is that it is a zinc ionophore.
It helps the hydroxychloroquine to get into...
It helps the zinc to get into...
The zinc to get into where it needs to go.
Right. It may be just a delivery system for zinc.
Yeah.
So, okay, maybe the boron, we'll have to do some checking on that.
Okay.
Innovative way to get zinc where it needs to go. But, yeah, okay, so let's go back to the other question. So
going back to Valeria, okay, 7 best supplements for GERD. Which DGL lozenge do you recommend?
Look, this may sound like I'm like some sort of seer or something, but actually, I get these questions before I pass them along to you.
Yeah.
So I saw that question and I was like, rare to go on that zinc lozenge question.
Right.
And then you gave me a lozenge question. So I'm like,
went to zinc.
I just uncorked my response. So now that's a question I haven't seen. So,
yeah.
Okay. So what's the question again?
Which DGL lozenge do you recommend? As long as it's deglycerizated, which is what DGL is.
Yeah, there it's less important. You know,
exactly.
And what I try to avoid is zinc DGL lozenges that have lots of sugar in them.
Yes.
And sometimes they have a spot of fructose in them. Don't worry about
That little bit of honey powder that you might see in there.
1 milligram of fructose.
Exactly. Don't be concerned about
some
that.
Some of them are sweetened with stevia, which makes them sweet.
Yeah.
You know, they taste better.
I don't think there are any sweetened with xylitol, and I would caution, if you're taking 12 of these a day, that xylitol may
give you a laxative effect.
So let's
explain this DGL thing a little bit.
Yeah.
It's one of the hardest words in the English language to spell.
Can I try?
You can't even pronounce it. So deglycerizinated.
Deglycerizinated.
Now there's two Y's in it. There's two H's or two R's. And, you know, it's
You win on Scrabble if you ever come
It's a spelling bee thing. Okay. But so glycyrrhizin.
Yes.
Is the compound within licorice.
Yeah.
That raises blood pressure. Mm-hmm. Causes sodium to be retained and causes potassium to be excreted.
Yeah.
So technically, if you eat a lot of licorice, this is called pseudoaldosteronism. It mimics the effects of a hormone in the body called aldosterone.
Yeah.
It will cause water retention, weight gain, and hypokalemia, which is potassium deficiency. So that's dangerous.
It is.
Especially when you take certain drugs. If you do not want to take regular licorice with a diuretic, because diuretics, some are potassium sparing, but many of them deplete potassium. So you don't want to take a regular licorice with Lasix or hydrochlorothiazide.
Mm-hmm.
You do not want to take it with a steroid, because regular licorice, not DGL.
Yeah.
DGL avoids that effect. I recall a case, and this sticks in my memory, because the patient's name was Hoffman. This is a young woman that I had what appeared to be low adrenal function. Mm-hmm. This is many years ago, 25 years ago. She was tired and she had low blood pressure. So I said, take some licorice. And so she took the licorice and she called me up and she says, I don't know, but it's really weird. In the past couple of weeks since I saw you, I've gained 12 pounds. And I go, you know, my first reaction is, are you sure? Can you check your scale? Because it's on the same scale? It's not like, you know, scales vary. She says, it's on the very same scale. And she says, I kind of feel bloated. So I said, come on in the office and, you know, let me check you out. And indeed, she had gained a lot of water weight. She retained water. And she had a low potassium. So it appears that some people are more genetically affected by licorice. This is not DGL. This is regular licorice. I wanted that blood pressure raising effect because she was like weak and dizzy and had very low blood pressure. Sometimes people need their blood pressure raised.
Yes.
And we thought she also had low adrenal function.
Right. So we would have somebody with very low blood pressure have licorice tea, for example, right?
Yeah. A little bit, but
yeah.
And I'm not even sure if I gave her licorice supplements. I think I might have just said take 3 cups of licorice tea a day. But she was uniquely susceptible to that effect.
Wow.
It was textbook.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's not for you. It's not working well.
Fascinating. Okay, Valeria, thank you for that question. Let's see here. Oh, this is interesting. This is from Carol. Hi, Layla and Dr. Hoffman, longtime listener here, never miss a podcast. I just wanted to bring a product to your attention that may be helpful. I'm a long-term sufferer of IBS-D, that's irritable bowel syndrome.
With urgency.
With urgency, yeah. With diarrhea.
Yeah.
Always had anxiety about finding a nearby bathroom, etc. I tried all the usual dietary approaches, FODMAP diet. In late June, I had a horrible flare. I could barely leave the house. Did a colonoscopy, all of that. Nothing was really wrong. Then I came across a product that helped me a great deal. It's called Banitrol Plus, and it's made by a firm called Medtrition. It's banana flakes.
Can you spell it?
Yeah. Banitrol is Banatrol Plus, and it's banana flakes with a prebiotic called Bimuno. I found relief in days. I've been taking it every morning since. I have no problems.
This is a really great share from a patient, and it prompted me to do the research on this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some very robust research on what are called galacto oligosaccharides.
Yes.
Now, we do know about fructo-oligosaccharides, which are actually more helpful for constipation.
Yes.
Now, both of them are prebiotics.
Yeah.
So they're not living bacteria.
Right.
But they selectively encourage the growth of certain bacterial populations because they're food for the helpful bacteria. The way that this works is it seems to stimulate gut bifidobacteria, which has a good effect on
bifidobacteria
urgency.
Is so supremely important for the colon, primarily the large intestine.
Now,
really.
They've even done studies where they've given bifidobacteria to experimental subjects.
Yeah.
And giving the bifidobacteria is not as effective as giving the prebiotic to encourage the growth of the bifido.
Okay.
So you know, this kind of turns probiotic science on its head.
Yeah, like, is that just washing through that probiotic supplement? That's
interesting. You've got to not just give the right organisms, you have to feed the organisms.
Yeah.
So, fascinating research on IBS, good results with these transgalacto-oligosaccharides, which is like banana powder.
It's interesting that it's made of banana flake, and we know banana to be binding and useful in any kind of diarrhea, including irritable bowel.
I recall a passage from James Michener's Hawaii, which is an epic book about, you know, what he writes about is like the origins of, you know, he'll write a book about Spain or Poland, you know, it's like from prehistoric times to modern times.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about the first people who booked passage to Hawaii, the colonists who came to Hawaii in the 1700s or the 1800s. And the food that they got to tide them over was bananas.
Mm.
And I remember from the book, they all developed terrible constipation because they were subsisting on bananas.
Right.
So if you're very constipated, maybe a good idea would be not to eat so many bananas.
Right.
But if on the contrary, if you have IBS, banana powder might be good. Here's another one. This is really interesting. It's entitled prebiotic intake reduces the waking cortisol response and alters emotional bias in healthy volunteers.
Yes.
It has an effect on the psyche.
It can.
We're going to coin a new term. We talk about psychobiotics.
Psychobiotics,
it's a psychoprebiotic.
Right. There's another study, effects of galacto-oligosaccharides prebiotic in healthy female volunteers are associated with reduced negative bias.
Yeah, that's the same one I pulled up.
Right. These are adolescent females.
We could all use less negative bias.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness.
We were talking about negative bias in COVID-19. So is the answer to give people banana flakes?
Maybe.
And then
they need some Bimuno. They need some GOS.
It also reduces the waking cortisol response, which we know is associated with depression and anxiety and stress.
And stress, right.
So they say, in this study, they say there's the suppression of the neuroendocrine stress response and the increase in the processing of positive versus negative attentional vigilance in subjects supplemented with galacto-oligosaccharides are consistent with previous findings of endocrine anxiolytic effects of microbiota proliferation. So you can change your moods. But, you know, and by the way, people who've received fecal transplants have told me, like, oh, you know, my GI symptoms are much better and, like, my mood is better.
Yeah.
Maybe I got a poop transfer from a happy person.
Prebiotics could be the new Prozac.
Yeah. But that's fecal transfer.
Transfer. But coming back to the galacto-oligosaccharides.
Right.
Could be the new. It reminds me of a subheading in a Psychology Today article I've mentioned so many times before, but it's stuck. Is kimchi the new Prozac? And I immediately continued reading the article. Oh my goodness.
It's the gut brain axis.
Yeah.
We have time for one more.
We have time for one more.
Squeeze it in. Let's
okay.
do it. Let's do it. People want to get their money's worth.
Right. This comes from Marilyn.
Yep.
Isn't Zantac a cancer-causing drug?
Okay, so what Marilyn is pointing out is to err is human, and I fess up, is in a broadcast a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about President Trump's cocktail. For COVID-19. And I was talking about, you know, I went into great depth about he was taking zinc and melatonin and he was taking vitamin D and he was taking a new experimental polyclonal antibody. And he was taking remdesivir, and then he took dexamethasone. And I was explaining this cocktail in detail, and I said, and he was taking this thing called famotidine.
Yes.
Which is an old-fashioned ulcer medication. It's available over the counter. It's Zantac. Mm. And I was wrong. It's actually a similar Me Too medication. Very popular, Pepcid.
Pepcid.
And we talked about Pepcid AC as being,
right.
you know, who's the celebrity?
Larry the Cable Guy?
Larry the Cable Guy.
Take your Pepcid before you eat that.
So it was Pepcid.
Chili dog.
Now, so there was, there's something, let me talk about Zantac for a minute, because Zantac was subject to a recall. FDA requests removal of all ranitidine products. Ranitidine is different than famotidine from the market because there was contamination with something called NDMA. And, you know, this kind of speaks to the manufacturing process and the supply chain. And most of our drugs, unfortunately, are made in especially China, but also India. And they are notorious for impurities.
Yeah.
And so I guess you can't get Zantac anymore. But you can get Pepcid.
Yep.
And Pepcid would, what was it? So read her comments further.
It's right here.
Okay.
Let's see. Marilyn writes, isn't Zantac a cancer-causing drug? You suggested it is helpful in preventing COVID-19.
Gotcha. And I fess up. But.
Marilyn goes on to say, you are not fair and balanced. It's obvious your political persuasion is detected in your snarky comments. Shame on you.
Now, first of all, you know, one of the things that we emphasize in medical training is we don't want to make it shame-based.
Never.
Because, you know, mistakes occur in hospital treatment, I talk about this, is that one of the worst and most stressful aspects of medical training is the stigma and the deprecation that is involved in shaming people when they make mistakes. You actually want to point out to people when they make, and just culturally in general, like if you're raising children, you do not want to shame them, you want to correct them. And I thank her for the correction. But, you know, I'll take umbrage at shame on you. Interesting about that comment about my political orientation, because when I read that, I said, where did I go wrong there? Because fair and balanced is the motto of Fox News. And I am not fair and balanced. Does that mean I was making fun of Trump for taking that? Or does that mean, I mean, I don't know whether that's coming from the left or coming from the right, but what's interesting is that I get comments from the left and the right criticizing my reportage about the most controversial person in the world, Trump. Because he is, I mean, he's a medical story. And people on the right think I'm making fun of him. And people on the left think I'm, enabling him, you know? And I think that's great because that means that my reporting on it is I'm an equal opportunity offender.
There you go.
Which is... works
best way to be
works for me
equal opportunity offender.
Works for me and I'm just fair and balanced fair and balanced. If you like Fox News, you think fair and balanced is a good thing. If you think Fox News is faux news, faux news, then you think fair and balanced is a you say it with sarcasm.
Yeah.
So I don't know where she's coming from.
I get it. I get where you got that idea.
All right. So.
All right. Well.
So, you know, if you want, what's the name of this person?
Marilyn.
Marilyn, come out of the closet. Tell me where you're where you're coming from. Because I know you don't like what I said, but I was wrong.
Yeah.
And I publicly... apologize for that and correct it.
No shaming necessary.
Yeah.
Amen to that.
We're transcending shame.
Yes.
We just want to get the facts right.
Right.
And you know, we're not flawless, but I when wrong, I'm be
hey,
very
I'm
happy.
The first to say I'm wrong.
Be
I'm the first
happy.
To say I don't know.
And if any of you astute listeners, you know, if we misspeak or if we, you know, we'd love to have you participate and get your appropriate correction. So thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Marilyn, for that. All right. That's all the time we have.
Wow.
So radioprogram@AOL.com. Please send your questions, comments. No profanity, please. Critiques are welcome.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. Thank you for listening, everybody.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.